Brother Derek said he missed her. How much more so do I miss her? Y'all, you don't even know how much you miss them, the ones that take care of everything, until you got to take care of everything. Not only have I got to get my clothes together, I got to take care of the two dogs and make sure they're fed and watered and sleeping. And Lord have mercy. I thank the Lord for my wife. Amen. Whether she's here or not, I thank the Lord for my wife. If you have your Bibles, we want to turn to Psalm 27 tonight. Psalm 27. Yesterday evening, I felt the Lord deal with me on this morning's message. It won't long after, I felt him talking to me about tonight's and his sovereignty, knowing who was going to be here. But I must say, I'm encouraged to have been in the presence of a pastor today who felt the burden to praise and come in tonight reading his scriptures at the beginning, feeling the urgency and the urge to praise the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us to praise him on the stringed instruments. We got a guitar player and a piano player. It says to praise him in the brass, praise him in the cymbals, praise him in the psaltery, the harp, the sackbut. It says to let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. You know, I mentioned this morning, for those of you that won't hear, a little bit about my testimony and what the Lord did for me. Tomorrow be 10 years ago. But I was known as one that was going to live hog wild and do everything 100%. Head first. Well, I got saved. I just changed to giving my 100% and head first and who I gave it to. Because I believe if I can give 100% to the devil, then when I get saved, I need to get 100% to God. If I'm going to get out there and sweat and hoot and holler and act like a fool for the devil, I'm going to get into church and I'm going to sweat, hoot, and holler, and I'm going to earn that title they gave us 100 years ago when they called us holy rollers. I believe in earning it. I believe in giving God the praise and the glory. Amen. I appreciate the atmosphere that I feel in here that's been pushed by Pastor. Amen. Psalm 27, if you have your Bibles and don't mind standing with us for the reading of the Word, we're going to start with verse number 1. If it gets too lengthy and you need to sit down, I understand. Psalm 27, verse number 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, it is in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted." I want you to focus on these last two verses. And brother, I understand sometimes I can get loud. If you can just make sure I got monitor. Thank you. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If you could, let's stretch our hands toward heaven right now and ask the Lord to help us tonight.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, right now for your presence and your goodness. We thank you, Lord. Lead us in the streets, Lord. All us, Lord, as we wait on us, Lord, we shall receive us, Lord. Oh, open our heart, God. Lord, receive the blessings of the words of our Lord. God, as we ask the Lord to accept the spirit of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Somebody turn around and touch your neighbor. Shake your hand. Say something. I'm still waiting on God. Shake your neighbor's hand. I'm still waiting on God. David said here, wait on the Lord. If you go into the original in which it was written, I'm not a scholar. I know Pastor likes to do it. I know y'all have heard one of my mentors and good friends, Brother Israel Ochoa, preach, and he can dig it out. But I can go ahead and tell you what the word means in the Hebrew just by looking at it. The word kaval means wait. And if you look it up in the Hebrew, the three definitions it gives, it to bind together, perhaps by twisting, to expect, or to look patiently, to tarry, to wait for, or upon. Oh, I got to thinking about that binding together, perhaps by twisting. He said, wait on the Lord. Certain things are done in life with hope. We hope that it was the right direction that we turned. If you've ever done any traveling and didn't have electronic GPS, you hope that it was the right direction that you turned. I've wondered many times how an evangelist made it back in the days of the paper Rand McNally. I don't have a clue, because sometimes Google and Apple don't even get it right. I don't know how we get where we're going sometimes. We do certain things in life with hope. We hope that we made the right decision. We hope that we did it with the right attitude. Oh, then you've got others that are done in life because of experience. I think right here that the psalmist understands that experience is a special teacher. He didn't have to say in Psalm number 1, when he wrote and he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate daily. Day and night, friend. He didn't say, I hope I'll be blessed. It wasn't a hope that he had at the moment. He said, experience is a wonderful teacher. Oh, how do you know that, preacher? Because it's wrote in the past tense. Blessed is the man. He said, you will be blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor if you do not stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. How do you know that, Mr. David? Because I've made that mistake before. I've got some experience in the matter. Oh, I've wondered many times, you know, in what mentality was the first psalm written? Oh, what had the psalmist been through when it was wrote? What were they going through in their mind or in their body? But the simple fact is if it's written in the past tense that you will be blessed if you don't, that means he knew the circumstance of what would happen if you do. So I've wondered many times as you flip through in these Psalms, as you focus on what he said. Oh, just follow with me for a few minutes if you don't mind. I feel like God's wanting to help somebody. Oh, but in Psalm 1 and verse 2, when he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, the opposite effect. If you don't do this and you do this, then something good will happen. Then he said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How does he know? Because he knows the mistakes that he made in the past where he didn't do these things and what came about. Friend, I wish I knew. Sometimes our nosiness gets the best of us. I wish I could see what he went through in life that made him write this. But friend, it does not really matter, because the fact is we were given what not to do. Oh, by experience, he said, I can tell you it's going to bring some difficulty if you don't do it this way. By experience, he said, I can tell you it's going to bring some hurt if we do the opposite of what it says, but it'll bring a blessing if we just refuse to stand in that place. It'll bring a blessing if we refuse to sit in that place. It'll bring a blessing if we bind ourselves together and twist in with the Lord and refuse to go that route. Oh, I got to thinking now. Fast forward just a little bit. We know that not all of these Psalms are written in chronological order. So I'm just wondering when it was laid out. Maybe it was the next step. Maybe it was written before. But if you fast forward two Psalms, you'll find the bold heading in my Bible says, the Lord protects his people. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Oh, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Oh, how many times, friend, have we prayed that prayer? Folks are saying, I can't make it, Lord. But what does Psalm 3 summarize it and press on a little bit through it? What does it tell us? It tells us at the height of the prayer that the Lord heard. And it was by experience in that deepest place that the psalmist was able to then in turn say, the Lord heard when I cried. The Lord heard. He said in verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. He paused for a little bit at the end of verse 2 to talk about the trouble. But in verse 4, he proceeded to say, the Lord did hear my cry. And then he paused for a minute right there. Friend, it's going to be by experience that we understand. It's going to be by experience, that special teacher, that we must understand the things we go through. They're not always going to be easy. We're not always going to understand the whys. We're not always going to know the wins. We're not always going to see the ends. But friend, with God, where he's taken us is always more important than where we're at. If you flip to Psalm 13, you'll see what happens when you pray and you don't hear that answer. He said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Even when the Lord seems quiet, I will continue to praise. Even when the Lord seems quiet, I will continue to pray. Even when the Lord seems quiet, I will not slow down in my duties. I will not leave my post. I will not turn away. I will not go back, because I know he has dealt bountifully with me. Whatever it is I'm going through, whatever it is I face, my experience teaches me it's still less than what it could be. Oh, glory. why I'm getting somewhere, but what I'm building up to is how the psalmist knew if you bind yourself together with God, He will strengthen your heart. What he's saying in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, the psalmist wrote, and it says a call for God's deliverance, a psalm of David. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. If experience is the teacher, Holy Ghost inspired scripture, he took a pen, a quill to the pad, or to the scroll, and began to write down under inspiration of heaven something that had already happened. It was not prophecy, it was a song to praise after the fact. So what was he going through when he said, the Lord is my rock? Friend, I want to encourage somebody right here. I don't know what you're going through, but I want to ask you right now, what is it that would make your soul rise up and say, the Lord is my rock? What is it that would make your soul rise up and say, I love thee, O Lord. Thou hast dealt bountifully with me. You have encouraged me. You have helped me. You have strengthened me. Oh, glory. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Oh, glory. If experience is the teacher, what did he go through? Oh, friend, I want to ask you right now. I don't know your names. I don't know your troubles. I don't know the scenarios. But is there anything too hard for God? Is anything you're going through too big? Will beat you too bad? Will leave you too alone? No, friend, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will go with thee always, even to the ends of the earth. It may feel bad. It may look bleak. It may get hard, but the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my God. In one place he said, in whom will I serve? Oh, Paul wrote something very similar in the midst of the worst storm of his life in Acts 27, where he said, but an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, I belong to him and I serve him. That's two different facets of life, friend. Oh, God of heaven is trying to tell somebody here in this house today, not only do you belong to him, but you have the ability and the power to serve him. You have the ability and the power to be strengthened from him. Oh, the fire can feed off the wood, but the wood feeds the fire. It takes both, friend, to make the fire grow. What am I saying? I'm saying your strength can grow by praising him. Your power can grow by praising him. Your stability can grow by praising him. Your worship can grow by praising him. So what is the summary of Psalm 18? It is the Lord is. But I want to get right here. The first five verses of Psalm 18 is his question. It's his call for deliverance. But in the bold print in my Bible, it says God's answer. His answer went from verse 6 to verse 19. Powerful right here. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then, this was after he heard it. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Now, if I could just connect something for you. Psalm 91:1, it says, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my strength. He said, my God, in whom I will trust. Psalm 91, he said, his secret place is where we dwell. Psalm 18 says the darkness becomes his secret place. He wants to turn it around for you. He wants to answer when you call. He wants to shut up or shine down out of a higher. He wants to show you he still can. Oh, yeah. The most famous poem ever written. You have many folks in the world that will quote it. They will do their best to say it. Some try to understand it, but we all know it is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have need of anything else because he is current. He is active right now. He is not dead. He is not gone. He is not old. He is not gray. He is right now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me, that's another action, to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me, that's three, beside the still waters. He restoreth, that's four, my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that's five. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art, that's six, with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's seven. Thou preparest a table, that's eight, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head, that's nine, with all. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's 10. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said experience is a teacher. And in one small praise and worship song, 10 times he said the Lord is active. He is current. He is powerful right now in my life. Oh, it doesn't matter that it was for yesterday. It's for right now. And if I could tell you one thing tonight, friend, he still has it right now. There's a story years ago. I don't know if it was true or just a story. They were at this big theater auditorium place. This young orator, very famous for being able to make perfect speeches, was asked to attend, and an old preacher man. They said, what we want you to do is we want you to do the 23rd Psalm. They said they got that orator up first, and he hit all the right places. The Lord is my shepherd. He got them all excited, made them feel real good. And when he got to the very end, everybody's hooping and hollering and clapping, cheering him on. Once the crowd calmed down, they got that elder preacher up and said, all right, sir, your turn. And he got up there with a quiver in his voice and a shaking in his hands. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Said his voice choked out and he began to have tears in his eyes. But before he was done with the psalm, the entire audience, there was no dry eye in the place, weeping, snotting, boo-hooing all over the house, but no clapping, no cheering. That young orator come to him afterwards and said, sir, I had the crowd moving and cheering. He said, but you had touched them in their heart, and I want to know how you did it. That old preacher man said, son, it's because you get up and you know the 23rd Psalm. But when I get up, I know the shepherd. I am a son of a high. fire. Experience as a teacher, friend. He won't fail you. Experience as a teacher. He's going to come through. Experience as a teacher. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to move tonight for you. Oh, the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody in this house right now. Oh, glory. Oh. So when you get to Psalm 27, he said, the Lord is my light. He ain't crying out. He's praising. Experience has taught him a thing or two. The Lord is my light. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then he goes on to talk about the wicked and what's going to happen. In verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. 10 years ago, or almost 10 years ago now, in that bad storm I told you about this morning, when the Holy Ghost rocked my thought process and said, what do you want to do? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Friend, you can't blame nobody when it comes down to it. You can't blame the preacher for the message. You can't blame the deacon for the way something went. You can't blame the song singer for the song. You can't blame the musicians for how loud or not loud the music was. You can't blame anybody but yourself. Because the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me. Oh, he's boasting. He's testifying. Somebody in this house could testify a little bit about some things you've been through. Somebody in this house could testify about how it's gone for you. Oh, but it won't be just a couple verses. The testimony is now shaken. The confidence is now stumbling. And in verse 7, he said, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. You say, Lord, I've prayed, I've laid my fleece, I've fasted, I've pushed things away. I'm seeking your face. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God, I'm doing everything I know to do. And Lord, I was trying to stand. I was trying to keep my confidence up, Lord. I was trying to speak my faith. Oh, you got them name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it out there on the television and all the way around us in the charismatic churches. I'm trying to speak it into existence, Lord. That's what the psalmist was doing too. And you'll notice just a couple of short verses later, it was a little shaky. Because I don't care how many times I stand up here and tell y'all that I don't have a Cadillac outside. If my credit and my finances don't match up, it probably ain't going to happen. But the psalmist said, hide not thy face far from me. Oh, but preacher, I was on the mountaintop last week. But the enemy has come in like a flood. And right now you're wondering how we got here. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, if you're as country as I am, when you read that, it almost sounds like somebody's salvation is even beginning to get shaken. I'm having to state that he's the one that saved me just to keep my mind focused. When my mother and father forsake me, Lord, you'll take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. I don't know who you are in this house, but God sent me here to tell you that he wants to help you. But you're going to have to wait on him. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses rise and risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. God, what have I done to deserve this? I thought by now we'd be shouting. That's my mindset. I ain't saying that's what I'm thinking about this. Mindset, I thought by now I'd have a breakthrough. I thought by now I'd have exactly what I've been praying for. But now the enemy's breathing out cruelty, and I can't even rein it in. I can't even get it to slow down. I had fainted. Those three words right there, if you break them down in Eastern North Carolina, down east country is what we call it. It means I almost gave up. I was about done. I've had it up to here. I cannot take anymore. I'm getting beat. I'm getting pushed. I'm getting punched. I'm getting poked. I'm getting prodded. Every time I turn around, it seems like something falls apart. Something's going wrong. I can't get nothing to work. Nothing's happening like it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be all roses and cream from here. I mix roses with peaches and cream, I know. But instead, we got a commocus going on. All this ruckus and commotion and loud rivers and chaotic movements, and we can't get anything right. And I was about to give up. And he said, unless I had believed. He didn't say unless I'd seen. He didn't say unless somebody come in with thunder and lightning and got it all straight for me. He didn't say unless the rocks rent and the ground moved and it opened up and swallowed up my enemies. Or he didn't say a neon sign from heaven dropped down. He said, unless I had believed to see the Lord in the land of the living. Unless I had believed that God is the God of the valley of dry bones. Unless I had believed that he is still able to speak life into a dead place. Unless I had believed it ain't my voice that can make it change. It ain't my voice that can make it move. It ain't my voice that can turn it around. But his voice speaks peace to the sea. It speaks calm to a roaring river. And it can speak life into a dying situation. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. David, what are you talking about? You don't have a clue what I'm going through. No, but I did come home and find my entire city burned down. And they'd taken our wives, and they'd taken our children. And you know, the Bible says that when he finally got word from the Lord to pursue, and they shall recover all, that means they got more than just the wives and the children. If you got any of the elders in this church that are like my grandma, you got a house full of whatnots and dolls and statues, and they took them all. They took everything that would make it feel like home. They took everything that would make it seem comfortable. The enemy come in and took everything and ravaged and made them miserable to where they wanted to stone their man. They wanted to stone and take David down. David has to sit down in the ashes, grab a hold of the ephod, and get a hold of God and encourage himself. And he said, I had fainted. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I was up to here. Unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then because experience is a teacher, he then turned and said, wait on the Lord. Friend, I don't know who you are, what you're going through, but I can tell you because 10 years, the Spirit of God has been a teacher. I can tell you to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Bind yourself in. Twist yourself in. The Bible tells us a cord three wound cannot be easily broken. So what you need to do, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be also in the midst of them. Now, smaller churches would like to say that means we only got to have two or three to have church. It ain't, well, we've got two or three, let's have church. It's at least we've got the minimum requirements. But the word midst means middle. He said, I'll settle down in the middle. He don't come in the parking lot and barely let you feel his presence. He said, I'll settle down in the middle and let it radiate out. We need some folks in this house tonight that you need to bind in by twisting with a three strain of cord. You need to get right in the middle of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you need to get bound in and say, I ain't moving. And say, I ain't changing. And say, I ain't bending. And I'm going to wait on the Lord. To look patiently, to tarry. But I love that, to be bound up by twisting, because it said together. It ain't I'm just succumbing. It's I'm succumbing. He's the leader, but he's going to help me along the way. He ain't dragging me behind him. He ain't going to drag nobody. He ain't going to make nobody. He ain't going to just put you in the land of the living. I was going to faint unless I believed. But then by experience, he said, wait on the Lord. And then he said, be of good courage. Well, I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. No, it's time to do it and be of good courage. And he shall. David, what did you go through? I lost everything. But he said, I would recover everything. He shall strengthen thine heart. Stand with me across this house if you would. It won't enough that he put some emphasis. It won't enough that he preached it loud and clear. It won't enough that he had known by experience that God would help those that wait on him. He emphasized it. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then he said, wait, I say. Tied in a little tighter. Oh, there's an order. That old song said, hold a little tighter, tighter to the line. Hold a little tighter to the line. Though the billows may roll and the tempest may blow, hold a little tighter to the line. He said, wait, I say. Own the Lord. Tied it a little tighter, somebody. Strengthen yourself. Bind it. Tie another knot in the rope. Oh, you're here tonight, friend, and you've gotten weak. You've gotten down. The enemy's pounded on your mind. But you say, preacher, now I'm willing to wait on the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. If somebody wants to help us on the piano. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, right now for your anointing, your help in this house. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to encourage us. Lord, there's some folks in this house, I feel it every time I get to this verse. They had fainted. Oh, God, I can feel it. God, we ask you to encourage. We ask you to strengthen. We ask you to help us to bind in and bind together with you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Church. Like I said, I've already said, I don't know. I barely know names. I don't know any problems. But there's some folks in this house tonight. You need to let experience be a teacher. And if you can't let your experience teach you, you can sure let somebody else's. God ain't going to fail you. He ain't going to turn his back on you. He ain't going to forget about you. We need some folks in this house tonight that's willing to say, I'm still waiting on God. I'm going to bind the end. I'm going to tie it a little tighter. I'm going to get surrounded by goodness and mercy and let them follow me. I'm going to get surrounded by the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and tie in tight. I want to be right in the middle of them so that I can get the entirety of the presence. I want to bind together my mind and my spirit. Unlock in. If you need to grab somebody's hand and say, I need help getting the glory, this altar is open, friend. There's some folks in here that says, I need to still be waiting on God. Oh, there's more in this house. Oh, there's more. Come on, friend. God wants to help some folks in this house. Oh, we'd rather look around at somebody else. I need some help. I need some strength. I'm going to bind in. Come on down. Come on down. God, I'm going to tie in tighter.